I am so glad to be here. I cannot tell you how glad I am to be here. Words really, like descriptions of this place really doesn't fit. Like Brandon was trying to tell me, okay, yeah, it's an international church and a lot of different immigrants, and then there's Irish people, but there's also international people, and I'm like, okay, this is great, this is great. But I'm looking and I'm seeing and I'm like, okay, this is amazing. And then just getting to talk to a few of you, just hearing, okay, somebody's from Missouri meeting somebody from Germany and somebody's from Lithuania, well, from Ohio, born in Ohio, moved to Lithuania, met somebody. And it's just like, okay, God has done an amazing and incredible thing at this church, and it's amazing. And as I was kind of thinking through and preparing my heart for whatever God would have me teach, I'm like, wow. How can I speak to this group of people? What would you have me say? And something that kept coming up over the year for me, it just felt like, okay, this is what God would have me share with you. And it's out of Ephesians 2. And Ephesians 2 is this beautiful picture of what God is doing and how God is at work in the people that Paul wrote to in the book of Ephesians. But it's for us as well. And the thing that kept coming to me over and over again is this whole Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus that he prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I got to give you kind of a backstory to why this is important and why this has been coming up over and over again. You see, my story, part of my story, I grew up in a home where my father and my mother, they were legalistic Christians. For us, when I grew up, it was no dancing, no drinking, no cards, no none of this stuff. It was this, you have to look this part, and you have to act it really well. And so what happens in that kind of environment a lot of times is you look really good on the outside, but on the inside, you're really a mess. And what happens growing up in that kind of environment, messy parents make messy kids. I don't know how else to say that. I grew up in a home where on the outside my dad looked one way, but at home it was a totally different situation. At home, it was... Let me just put it this way. I did not want to be at home as much as I could. But yet my dad was a pastor, right? So this is part of this journey. And over the last couple of years, God has been working in and through me to see he has prepared something in advance for me to do. Part of that preparation actually leads me here, right? He is the one that brought me here to be able to teach with you guys today. So we're going to break into God's word, but let me pray as we start. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity, the privilege, the honor to share your word with these people. God, you love these people, and you love us so much. And we thank you so much for your word, and I pray that it would work in our heart, that it would change our hearts, that we would see what you have to say for us. And God, that you would speak through me to these wonderful people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You see, what Paul is doing in chapter 2, as we get started, is he describes kind of where we were, who we were before Christ. Then he describes kind of how we are now in Christ. And then he talks about where we should be going. But not only does he do that, he tells us kind of why all of those steps are happening. So as we go through Ephesians 2, I wanted to just kind of point these things out. So first off, Ephesians 2 verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. You were dead. That doesn't mean you were alive. It means you were dead. Okay, so this is kind of, okay, Paul, what are you talking about? I'm breathing, right? How is it that I'm dead, but yet alive? Well, he's talking about a spiritual death. This happened in Genesis 3. At the fall of Adam and Eve, when they ate the fruit, we became spiritually dead. We were dead. and we're stuck in our transgressions, in our sin. And he says, this is who you are, in which you used to live, in verse 2, and you used to follow the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us used to live and among them at one time, gratifying the cravings and the sinful nature. And by nature, we are objects of wrath. So here it is. He sets up this horrible picture of what the really was really going on in us is this idea that we are helpless apart from Jesus Christ. We are fully dead in our sins. We can't help but gratify our sinful natures. So this is true for all mankind. This isn't just true for some people. This is true for all of us. All of us have tendencies towards being selfish. All of us have the things of wanting to do what's best for me, regardless of what it does for you, regardless of what it does for other people. I'm trying to live in a way that's best for me. Which, I don't know your story, but I'm guessing, because of humanity, that in your story, part of your story is that other people have hurt you. Why? Because if we're trying to live for ourselves, most often we're going to hurt somebody else in the way. Most often something is going to be happening in our lives because of the result of sin in other people. And all of us are stuck in this. This depravity that you talked about in Sunday school this morning is awesome. We're all in this state. We are all dead. But God. Love this. I love how God just, he shows up in this way of, but God. He shows up because of his richness and mercy, because of his love for us, but God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And it is by grace that you have been saved. God raised us up in Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that the coming age we might show this incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This, but God has made us alive. Those who were dead and caught in their sin, those who are living in their sin, he says, but God, because of his richness and mercy, because of his love, he has made us alive. He has brought the dead to life. Okay, now Paul in Romans 5 kind of goes into a little bit differently where he talks about how before we are all in Adam. In Adam, we are all fallen. All of us are depraved because we are all born from Adam. Adam and Eve being the first couple. So everybody who has been born post-Adam. But now in Christ, Christ, who is now the one who we get to align ourselves under. No longer do we have to be in Adam. We can be in Christ. Because when we believe in Jesus Christ, Christ now comes to live in us. He indwells us. We are with him. That's how Paul can say, not only are you in Christ, but you raised with Christ. In Romans, he talks about how you died with Christ as well. And now you have been raised with Christ as well. So we have the redeemed Christ in us. So that means wherever Christ is, that's where we are. Which where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. So we are in Christ there as well as Christ is in us here. This is who we are now. We used to be dead in our transgressions and sin. That's where we were. But where we are now is we are in Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this is true of who you are. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you are still dead in your transgressions and sin. So what was the difference? Look at this verse. Verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is what God has done. For the believers, God has woken you up. He has given you life, and he has given you the faith to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not your doing. It's what God has done. Why is it not my doing? Why can't it be because of my good works? Why can't it be if I'm a good enough person, then I get to go to heaven? It's not by works. Why? So that no one can boast. No one gets to put themselves in heaven. And that's really important, especially when it comes to the second half of this passage. The second half of this passage is going to talk about the dividing between the Jews and the Gentiles and the racism that happened for those people. So if it is by my works that gets me to heaven, then this means that I have a place to stand that's above everybody else. But Paul made it clear, we are all on the same level. We are all dead in our transgressions, but Christ made us alive. It is a gift of God's grace through faith, and it's a gift of God that he has done in us. He has awoken us. He has risen us. He has put us in Christ. But there is good works, which is interesting. Look at verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So it's not just God made you alive so that you could have a ticket punched to heaven. I am not saved just so that I can enjoy heaven later. I am saved. I have been brought to life because Christ has established some things for me to do that he prepared in advance for me to do. So my state now is walking in those steps, those good works that Christ prepared in advance for me to do. Now, here's where Christ has been blowing me away this whole last year. I got to go to on a mission trip, and at that mission trip, I got to go to this home, and it's in Guatemala, and it's this home is called Oasis. At Oasis, it's run by Kids Alive, and at Oasis, the government, who has taken girls out of their homes because of sexual abuse, they get to go to Oasis, some of them. They have 5 different homes. They have 40 girls. And then they have 10 other girls, or 12. Right now they have 12, that are mothers. All of them are under the age of 16. So I went to this, I've been there 3 times now. It's an amazing place, incredible place, because the gospel is so real. Here are these girls from the ages of 5 to 16. All of them have been taken away from their families because their families aren't safe. And they're put in this home, and they get to know the love of Jesus Christ. They see it. They feel it. Not only do they get to know the love of Jesus Christ, but they have people who are their advocates, who fight for their justice, who take them to the court to help them get the person who was abusive in jail. And they work with the family so that if the family can come to a place where it's safe for them to go back to, they get to go back to their family once their family is safe. If their family is not safe to go back to, they help find foster homes that they can go to when they have gone through a process of healing. So when I first was there, I was kind of blown away at what God was doing. Just in awe of what God was doing. These girls were so full of life. They were laughing. We were playing soccer. I am not a good soccer player. And I chose to be goalie, because I can't run like they can run. And I'm sitting here being goalie, and these girls, my goodness, they're good at soccer. And they keep scoring on me. It's not even the regular size soccer goal. It's a smaller version. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm a bigger guy that I can just stand there, and most of the shots I'm going to, you know, be able to either catch or it's going to hit me and fall off. But no, these girls were good. They were scoring on me left and right. We were having so much fun. And my first year there, getting to see this and experience this. And halfway through, we get to have pizza with these girls. And I get to see this 11-year-old girl holding her one-month-old baby. And the baby's got this beautiful smile. And the girl has got a beautiful smile. And the next day, that baby died. And I'm thinking, God, why? Why? Why all of this? Why did you let this happen? Why did you have us here when you let this happen? And this verse comes to mind. Why did this verse come to mind? Well, that girl, her name is Berlin, got to see the love of God in a way that no one else will ever get to experience. She got to see the love of God through this family of people who cared for her, who loved on her. She got to see the love of God when the pastor who was over the whole thing got to share the message at her young girl's funeral about how the love of God will remain forever. She got to see these people come around her and comfort her. And then there's this team of guys. It was an all-guy team. And it happened that Saturday and Sunday was their Father's Day. And I figured out why God had us there. Why did God have us there for this week? Well, because here are some men from Texas that came down to love on some girls in Guatemala who were taken out of their homes mostly because of their father on Father's Day. Those were good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. But now, Berlin, she can love on people in a way that nobody else can love. She gets to love on her sisters who have gone through suffering in a way that no one else can love. God prepared her in this way. That does not mean that God wanted those things to happen. What it means is that God did something that was incredibly beautiful out of something that was tragic. God has a way of taking things that are broken and hurt and making them redeemed in a way that is amazing. Those are the good works that God has enabled us to do because He has brought us through, He has loved us through those broken areas of our lives. Which goes to the second half of Ephesians 2. Second half of Ephesians 2 says, therefore, remember who you formerly were, that you were Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that which is done to the body by hands of men. Remember that at the time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. Again, here's that, but now, but because of Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, who were once far away, have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. Okay, so he just talked about how this is how we were before Christ. And he talked about this is how we are now in Christ, that we are in Christ and we have been given these works. And he's like, okay, so now remember that. Why? Why should we remember that? Because you were once far away. Now he's going into this whole picture of what God has been doing, his work that he has been doing. Okay, so before Jesus Christ, God chose the people of Israel to bring his promise forth. God chose the people of Israel and he chose that family. And he said to Abraham, I will bless all the nations through you. And then God chose to give the people of Israel his law. But in the law, God showed them that they were to be separate from these things. He was showing them, this is how I want you to live. One, so that all the nations around you can see that you are living by faith in these promises that I have given you. But part of that is I want you to be clean, and I want you to be holy, and I want you to be separate. He wanted them to display that God is holy. So in the temple, there was this barrier that was built up so that only those of the promise could go into the inner temple court area. There was all these different divisions. There was the Holy of Holies, which had the curtain that now that separated us, that only once in a while, the priest could come into the Holies of Holies. But then inside the temple courts, only the people who were Levites, the priests and the Levites, could go into the temple. And then out of the temple courts, only the Jewish people could go in. And there's a separation between male and female. And then there was a separation between the Gentiles and the Jews. Gentiles being everybody who is not born a Jew. But what happened? Well, let's look. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near. For he himself is our peace, and he has made the two one. And he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. So because of Christ, because of his death and resurrection, he abolished those laws that kept us far away and said, now you two can be one. Now they can be a part of your family. So this is what God is doing. He has done an amazing work through Jesus Christ and saying, okay, no more of this racial division. Now you guys can come together. You guys can be one. My guess, Paul kind of attacks some other people in other places, that didn't go over very well. In fact, it didn't go over very well at all. Even for the believers, at first they were like, well, you have to become Jewish to become a believer. And Paul attacked that. He's like, no, Christ abolished that. You are welcome because of Christ. You can come in because of Christ. But here again, we're people. And we like to put ourselves in comfortable situations where we're comfortable, and we like to be set in our ways, and we don't necessarily always like things that are different from us. Some of us love difference, but there's a lot of people who don't love difference. They want just themselves. They want to protect themselves. And a lot of times that's at the cost of other people. But Christ divided that. He broke that. That barrier is now no longer there. Keep going. So, he is our peace. And this one body, they're to be reconciled. He reconciled them I'm in verse 16. And he, in this one body, to reconcile them both to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. Okay, so I got to tell you, Brandon sent us an email on our team. And in that email, this was right before he left, he was telling us about things that we should pack. He said, make sure you pack a rain jacket. And I see why. But now it's really nice. This is really nice. Hopefully it stays like this. Rain jacket. We had used first out of the gate from the plane, airport, we had to put on our rain jackets. I guess you guys have rain. But the thing that he said it three different times. At the very beginning, he said, bring your passport. In the middle, he said, bring your passport. At the end, he said, bring your passport. And he said, if you haven't caught on, you need to have your passport. As now we're praying for Barbara to find her passport. The passport's kind of important, right? So Paul does the same thing for us. He's brought up peace four times. He's brought up peace. First, that Christ brought us peace to God. We have been given peace with God. Because before, we were alienated from God because of our sin. Now, because of Christ, who has died for our sins, we are at peace with God. We have been reconciled to God. Then he's talking about the peace between the Jews and the Gentiles. Because of Christ, he has put to death that hostility. But not only that, Christ preached peace. Preached peace to the Jews, and he preached peace to the Gentiles. Because now we have access, both of us, to the Father through one Spirit because of Jesus Christ. So the whole idea is that we would have peace. This peace is that shalom peace that is from Hebrews. This rest. Rest in who you are. Rest in where you're at. Rest in the fact that you are in Christ. Rest in the fact that God is at work. And even while we are in struggle, we can be at rest, knowing that God is going to work it out. This rest is a trusted rest. And we can be at peace. And he is now asking and showing us that we should have that with each other. So here's the application about that. So we were dead in our transgressions. Now we have been made alive. Why have we been made alive? We have been made alive to bring peace. This fellowship right now is beautiful. Why? Because you have people from all over the place. You have different nationalities amongst you. People that have come from all over the world to spend this time in Galway, and it's a beautiful picture of this peace that we can have together because of Jesus Christ. So when I was studying this, I was thinking, man, this is amazing. This is a beautiful picture of God's peace, right? And then I was studying, and there's something that caught my attention that I never noticed before. I love how God does that. You can have a passage that you know, that you've studied, and you come back to it, and something stands out. The thing that stood out to me is the answer to, why has God done all of this? Why has God done this? And it's back in verse 7. If you have a Bible, look at chapter 2, verse 7 with me. Here it is. Christ has done this in order that in the coming age he may show the incomparable riches of his grace. I liked Jason's translation. That, what was that word? Incomprehensible? Immeasurable riches of God's grace? This immeasurable riches of God's grace expressed in his kindness to us. All of this is in order that in the coming age, God may show his incomparable, incomprehensible richness of his grace. Okay, think through this with me. You guys who are sitting here today are a picture of God's incredible grace. The stories that brought you here, just the little bits that I've got to hear of somebody from Poland who is here, somebody from Germany who is here, somebody from Lithuania who is here. All of this is God's incomparable richness of his grace. We are on display for those who are outside of us that are looking in and seeing there is something different because of God's grace. God's grace has awoken us to life, and we can have peace with other people because of this incredible grace. His grace is so amazing. And this is a little picture, a microcosm of the fact that he is building all of us together. Look at the very end. Consequently, this is verse 15. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and the the prophets. With Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone, in him the whole building joined together rise to become the holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become this dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. All of us together are this beautiful picture, this temple that is being brought together. We are all built together as a dwelling place for God. Why? Because he is showing the incredible riches of his grace. We are all brought together. We are all now citizens of one place. That is not here in Galway. It is not here in Ireland. It is not even here on this earth. It is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. But not only are we citizens of heaven, we are members of the household. Not only are we members of the household of God, we are children of God. We are brothers and sisters. So when we show love to our brother and sister who is of a completely different nationality, we are showing God's grace. When we are showing love to people, we are showing God's grace. When we let God use our broken stories to be the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do, we are showing God's richness of his grace. You all are showing God's grace. And think about it. Just worshiping with you guys today, this morning, hearing your guys' voices, it was incredible. Can you imagine when every tribe, every nation, and every tongue gets to stand before the Father's throne and sing his praises? When all of the house is all together, talk about what we get to experience in the age to come. To show off God's amazing grace. No matter what we have gone through, no matter what trials we have gone through to get us to where we are, we get to be on display for God's amazing grace that he has done and worked in us and through us because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. That is what made all of this happen. Let me pray for you guys. Dear Father, I thank you so much for this church. God, I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you change us. I thank you that you have called us, that you have made us alive in Christ. And I thank you that we can worship together as believers in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters from all over the world, that we can display your amazing grace. And God, I pray that you would let that grace change us, that you would let that grace be what brings us peace with you and peace with each other and peace with those who are outside of this congregation. That peace would be a display of your amazing grace. And we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.